I've been thinking about how I'm going to feel when they make the decision. And I have thought a lot about it, actually, to if you like, condense my feelings, because I've been in this position before in 2001 when they referred my case to the Court of Appeal the first time. And I can remember the feelings of what it was like. But this time, I think it's slightly different because, if you like, they turned the light off at the end of the tunnel in 2002. And for the last, well, almost 10 years, I've been fighting to, if you like, unravel the 3.5-4 million pages of documents that they gave us in 2002. And it's taken me this amount of time to really read and mine all the information out of it. And referring my case to the Court of Appeal is turning the light back on at the end of the tunnel, and I shall feel hope again, if the truth be known. I shall feel that maybe finally my position, which I've held for 26 years, will be validated, because I know that I was outside with the police when they saw someone moving around in the house, when they were talking to someone inside the house, when they saw my sister in the kitchen, when they went into the house. And so not only do I know I didn't murder my family, but I know that they know I didn't murder my family. And it's been frustrating that those truths have been hidden under layer after layer after layer of lies for all this time.
How did you feel, Jeremy, when you, and it was your expression, when they turned the light off in 2002? How did you feel then?
Desolate. And I have to say that I felt abandoned, and because it was just before Christmas when they gave me that decision. And I remember that Christmas day I had jam and toast because I hadn't made any arrangements for stocking up food or putting in menu slips or anything like that for my Christmas dinner. So I had no food. I felt like I was the laughing stock of the jail, in that I'd told people that I was going to win and didn't. Yeah. I felt friendless. I felt that those people who had misrepresented the evidence and those people who'd told out and out lies about me were believed over the truth.
If they refer on the 31st, how do you think you'll feel, Jeremy?
I will feel a sense of validation, and I will feel excited, because I know that the evidence that we're presenting this time is very different from anything that we've ever presented before. We've got experts of huge renown that are standing up and saying, well, look, you know, this happened and that happened. And we've got evidence and documents that have sort of remained out of the court system, which show that not all that was told before is actually true. But also, I'll feel proud to, if you like, represent my family. I feel disappointment in some of the people who I have to call relatives, who have misrepresented my mum and dad and Sheila in a way that is really unfair, not just unfair, but really unfair, and that I'm the only one sticking up for them. You know, that other people have been more interested in other things. And so I will feel proud that I know that if Dad was around, if Mum was around, that they would feel proud of me having the self-discipline and the staying power to keep with this for as long as I have.
How was it on the farm, Jeremy?
Do you know what? It was idyllic, if I was truthful. I mean, I think it can be quite a solitary life, but I think I'm quite a person who's quite happy with my own company, which helps me survive, you know, this kind of environment, that I'm quite happy if I'm banged up. You know, I have things to do and I'm quite content to just potter away at reading books and working on the case and watching a bit of TV. And the farming is very much like that. You spend many hours of the day on your tractor doing your thing, but it's very close to nature, and it's an idyllic way to live. Happy life, and Mum and Dad were wonderful people, and I know that a lot of people have said the very same thing. They were very gentle, very kind, very honest people, and I love them with all my heart, and they were my Mum and Dad, and I resent, you know, the adopted child. I've never seen myself as an adopted child, and I know Sheila didn't until such time as her illness took hold, and she got confused about the whole thing and thought that might have been a trigger.
Everybody's got this image of Sheila, you know, the Bambi picture.
She was a successful model, Eric, and she was a beautiful model, and she was physically, in, you know, when she was 17, 18, 19, stunning. She was a very gentle, kind person, and as a sister, she was wonderful growing up. She looked after me, she cared for me, and when I was 14 and 15 and she was modelling, I used to love going up to London and staying with her and going out with all her modelling mates. It was a wonderful, you know, they used to treat me just wonderfully.
I bet it was, yeah. Did you see anything coming in terms
no.
of... Because obviously
no.
your case is that, you know, well, as was the case at trial, I mean, the jury were told it was either Jeremy or Sheila.
I had no idea, and I certainly have taken my share of blame for not supporting her and not knowing, because I didn't know, I hadn't a clue.
No, and you've said that...
And I wish I would have visited her when she was in hospital and understood and talked to the doctors. And I know Mum and Dad were the same. They had not a clue either.
If the unthinkable happened, from your perspective...
And they said no on the 31st of January?
Yep. What then?
Well, we'd start exposing some of the other stuff I know about. You know, I've not revealed all my hand to the CCRC. Much has come to light in the last year. And I would mine that even more.